Now for Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, right off the bat this morning, Curtis, right off the left-handed bat, the week that was for your Boston Red Sox and Juan Soto, as our man Danny from Quincy, Bob Marley fan, would say, one love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right. Come on, baby. This could be real. Admit it. It could be real.
I thought you were going to go with Buffalo Soldier. But
good song.
Honestly, you don't believe this, but we can play along for a second here.
I don't believe it, but I want to know what's happening. Is it just as basic as it appears?
It's very simple. So at the beginning of the Wick Grosbeck sale of the Celtics, his 2% plus dad, that conversation was surrounding the potential interest of the other conglomerate in town, Fenway Sports Group. Mm-hmm. And I postulated that the Celtics and Red Sox were meeting as a thing that John Henry and Wick Grosbeck are friendly. If we engage, it may create more business for Wick Grosbeck. And who knows? Maybe it's something we're interested in. We've been trying to get in the NBA for a while. Mm-hmm. With Scott Boras, he has Teoscar Hernandez, I believe. Is that his client?
Well, check that, Joe. The Boras Corporation.
Anyway,
Teoscar.
He has several potential.
Maybe you signed both, by the way.
What people mistook, and it was just the American public never ceases to amaze me, and the media. Everybody's saying the meeting went well without mentioning a dollar figure.
Productive was
the term. Beneficial to Scott Boras and to the Red Sox. The rest of Major League Baseball, what has been the number one storyline nationally about the Red Sox? What happened? They used to be a contender. They used to spend. Now they don't even offer Kyle Schwarber anything. The agents of Major League Baseball, especially given that there are now, I believe, a dozen baseball TV rights deals that are owned and operated by Major League Baseball because the local Bally and other distributors have gone belly up.
Diamond Sports Group et al.
So there is a need to have teams that are willing to spend this offseason, and to wake the sleeping giant of the Red Sox would greatly benefit Scott Boras' attempt to get more money from other teams for Juan Soto.
Okay, but
do you agree with that?
I generally agree with that. However, you would admit that meetings like this for star players often happen this way, where dollars are not exchanged first. This is a month-long process that will go through December. So for you to say it's a concern that no money was exchanged, I don't buy that. I don't think that's a factor.
What is the purpose of a three-hour meeting?
It's introductory in nature, especially for somebody you don't know. Yankees are not going to go out there.
So you think Tom Warner and Juan Soto are going to hang out? They're going to go to Kings when Juan Soto comes to Boston?
Yes, I think Hooters.
What does that even mean? Who cares about introductory? That's so laughably absurd.
When you meet somebody, you need to introduce yourself.
So you think when Schilling and...
You don't just come in saying, 500, we get 500, 505.
Nope. I would imagine maybe after dessert, before the port, you could have a little bit of a conversation.
You don't even exchange... They go home and they fax their offer to Boras if they were going to do it. But in this case, they're not even close to that. He's got introductory meetings with the Blue Jays, with the Mets, probably the Dodgers, probably the Giants, although they're down the list.
Well,
so that doesn't rule it out. But it doesn't... It appears to be phony. I would agree. However, they are going all in on the phony, and I guess they have to.
What did they say last year, Ken?
They flew everybody out to SoCal.
Ken, what did they say last year?
About what?
Their off-season plans. What were the two words they used?
Well, Tom Warner used those words.
Who was at the dinner?
That Tom Warner said that?
No. Who was at the dinner in California?
Oh, well, John Henry wasn't there. That's
right,
a good thing.
Right, and who was there?
Tom.
Okay, so Tom Warner, who kicked off last offseason, saying full throttle.
Full throttle, yep.
Goes out to California. I'm sure he flew JetBlue Mint. And
what do you get on JetBlue Mint?
I don't know. It just is like there. I hope they sponsor. I am done with JetBlue.
It's more cheese.
I am a Delta man.
Did you check with me first before you just start?
Hey, if they want to pay for anything, they're more than welcome to, but they have gone downhill quick.
Where did JetBlue touch you, to use your phrase?
We obviously haven't flown it much. An hour delay means 2 days. But here's a bag of nuts.
Full throttle was an embarrassment. Isn't it possible, just bear with me, isn't it possible that embarrassed Tom Warner to the core, and they had a long discussion, he and John Henry, this season about how they're going to approach it? And if Joe Braverman, I see you fading in back there, producer extraordinaire, Chris Curtis. If they were ever going to sign somebody, it would be perfect to snatch it away from the Yankees, especially the guy that took them to the World Series. And then for 13 years, their fan base would have to look across the diamond 10 to 15 times a year and see him as a Red Sox.
So, Ken, I'm going to give
you... And it would just drive them crazy. If it was ever worth $600 million, this is the guy that it would be worth.
I'm going to bring it full circle for you. Not going to go down this road too far, but it used to be that the news and broadcast news carried the most weight when it came to our elections. The world has shifted.
CBS Evening News with Dan Rather.
It doesn't matter. I mean, remember, I remember the Bush-Dan Rather thing like it was yesterday. It was the biggest story in the world. Now, it's literally meaningless what they say on Meet the Press and what they say on the broadcast news.
What about Mass Live?
I don't even know what that is.
They had the story. Broke the story.
Okay, great. I'm talking about the way the Red Sox used to do business. They believed what you're saying right now, that they were true rivals of the Yankees, that it was this Cold War, that every offseason their job was to build the team, make sure that the manager had what they needed, and sit back and wait till the deadline.
Are you going to dispute that they don't hate the Yankees?
Of course I do. They don't care about losing to the Yankees. Cora and Boone are best friends.
Cora said famously, we scored 15 at Yankee Stadium, suck on it. We had Sam Kennedy say, you know, ripping them to you guys a couple years ago.
Right, I think if all was equal, they'd like to beat the Yankees, but they have shown you over and over and over again. We keep sounding dumber because we keep waiting for them to go back to what they used to be. Same thing with the Patriots. We said going back 4 years to the loss to the Bills, year after year after year, Tom won, they have to win, they have to spend, they have to do this. Bill leaves, they fire him, they enter the offseason with the most cap space, if you really believe in tooth fairies.
Yeah, but they spent one offseason. Sometimes they do spend. No, sometimes the Red Sox sign David Price.
Okay.
Every 10 years or so.
But they're not that team anymore. They're just not.
They haven't been, but this could be the year. It would be shocking. Listen, for them
what
to spend...
What percent odds would you give that they have Juan Soto on the Red Sox?
Oh, boy. I'm creeping up to like 8-9%.
Okay, so there's no
chance. I don't think Soto's going to pick them, which is kind of to their benefit,
so
probably.
So we're talking about something that has a 90% chance of not happening.
Yes.
Oh, great.
But the 10th, can you imagine if they signed Soto?
Could you imagine if I won Mega Millions? It'd be awesome.
You'd give me none of it.
Yeah, damn right. Especially after this week.
Taking off the Green Monster shirt. Can you imagine the wall balls? The Green Monster wall balls from Soto, the lefty stick, plus that little short pesky pole poking right.
Oh,
Joe,
yeah.
Joe
yeah.
Braverman, what's your percent chance Soto comes here?
Not that you are at 8 at 9. I'll say like 5.
Well, 5's not bad. I'll take a 5.
Yeah, but 95%, as Curtis said, is much greater.
Can we at least agree on this? Driving up the price is a good thing. They should. It would be worse if they didn't even engage. That would be worse.
So what my view of this is really negative because they now are a team that looks for press about trying to sign someone. It's how far they've fallen where they're calling up Mass Live saying it was really productive. We talked about everything, even the election.
David Ortiz, quote, we would have Manny and Poppy for the left side. Don't you see those quotes and they're like, wow, Pedro made a rounds on the podcast this week? Like, if
wasn't it last year
if
that
they're
Cora
faking
told,
it, it's embarrassing it? In that sense. That if
you don't think Full Throttle's embarrassing?
Well, that was embarrassing.
It's the same people.
That would be even worse.
What are you talking
Can
about?
Can I cite Bradfoe's report?
Did he ever correct that Celtics thing?
I don't think so.
I mean.
But maybe this one's right.
Did you call him?
Getting vibe that the Red Sox are approaching Juan Soto's situation with the kind of intent we haven't seen in some time from them, end quote.
Ken, somebody with the Red Sox, I'm sure Rob did his due diligence and said, hey, what's up with Soto? Why did Mass Live get this? I thought we were pals. And they said, we're approaching this offseason with a newfound rigor, vigor.
But that's good. If you drive up the price,
I don't give a crap about
he might not sign with the Yankees, might sign with the Mets.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. That's huge. I would say that's pretty significant. They're in your division.
It's the unbalanced schedules are gone. It's not nearly as important as it used to be.
No, it's still important.
I mean, it's 13
the Yankees
versus
were in
19.
The World Series, and we talked about, you know, every year we relish in the fact that the Yankees hadn't been to the World Series, hadn't won since 09.
Well, they haven't
that's
won since
embarrassing 09. For, and they still haven't, and this would be even more embarrassing.
Ken, but I don't talk to a single person anywhere, and I talk to people. vet say, oh, we got to keep up with the Yankees. That was 20 years ago.
No, but you got to spend, and this would change a lot of minds with one stroke of the pen.
Do you know when showing your work matters? When you're wrong. You know, if you're an air traffic controller and there's no crashes, they don't come to your seat and give you a breathalyzer. But after Sully landed in the Hudson, boom, they're right there and they give you the breathalyzer because they want to make sure that if anything went wrong, they were not culpable.
Yep.
When Matt Damon, Will Hunting, did the answer at MIT in the hallway, he was right. They didn't go back and say, how'd you do it?
Didn't he have it on the chalkboard there?
He did it on the chalkboard.
Yeah. So what do you mean? So they knew he was right. The formula was there.
He put the formula on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
What the Red Sox are doing is attempting to cover their ass when Soto, they're cushioning the fall when Soto inevitably lands elsewhere. And I would just say to the Red Sox and the Patriots, I don't give a crap what you try. Do. Whatever
I know,
it is.
But to get to do, you have to try, and it's going to be a month. So in the meantime, I'm kind of fascinated by it.
Let's say if Soto's never interested in the Red Sox, and it was never close, and Teoscar Hernandez signs elsewhere, and instead of getting dinner with the guy just to get the press clippings, they could have signed someone else that actually was interested in the team.
That would be tragic. But I don't think Teoscar would sign until the market is set. He wants to see that 650 mark set, and then they adjust
the
values.
You know what my favorite time of year was when the Red Sox set the market?
Hot
Wasn't that fun?
You seem angry at this conversation. I find it very interesting.
It's enraging that you are giving them
I
the
give
pass.
It a 9% chance.
Right, but what they're
number
just,
nine, Ted can, Williams.
You're treating the 9% like it's 95%.
Right. I am not. I'm just
Do you watch a politician and be like, ooh, I love being spun?
If you had 10% chance to win Mega Millions, would you consider that pretty good?
Yeah. Do you know how long it takes me to play Mega Millions? $2. Boom, I'm out of the store. I'm not flying to California.
Yeah, but you sit there and you think about what you would do with the money. I mean, that's just the fun of it. You think about what if Soto were actually here. They would trade Willier. They would move Rafael over to right. You probably trade Casas.
I would trade Casas today. Instead of getting dinner with a guy that's not going to sign here, I would call whoever the Blue Jays GM du jour is, and I'd say, hey, what will it take to get Vlad here?
Give me your percent chance the Red Sox sign Soto, 617-779-7937. And if just allow yourself to dream of the Mega Millions, what if he actually signs? What difference would it make in your life? In the Red Sox fandom, in your life, what would they do on the baseball diamond? Does it make sense? We used to have these conversations in the baseball offseason. It used to be fun.
You know why we used
to
have
them? It's now not fun.
You know why we used to have
them? It's their fault. I know it.
Because they used to sign guys. They used to be in on guys.
Right.
Now they trade them to the Dodgers and they win two championships.
It's Trevor Story.
But he doesn't even count, to be honest. I mean,
he's a
sub-$200 million deal is no longer a big deal in Major League Baseball.
Also, was kind of last minute. It was like February. It wasn't the first deal, as Curtis mentioned.
Well, that's just the way baseball's gone. This one you would agree was coming
in actuality,
next
they just screwed. All Story did was get rid of Bogarts.
That was the Bogarts, yeah.
It wasn't really an ad.
But wait, let's go to our buddy Mike in Framingham to kick off the Ken and Curtis show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
If I had $600 million and I was the Red Sox, there's no way I would sign Juan Soto.
Really?
Go get Teoscar Hernandez, get the pitcher from Japan that's coming up, go get another premier pitcher. That will make the Red Sox a far better team than spending all that money on one player.
But, Mike, don't you think this would allow them to trade some of their assets to get pitching?
No.
Okay. Well, Mike doesn't even want Soto, so maybe we shouldn't even have the conversation. I mean, you would want Soto, wouldn't you, if you're a Red Sox fan?
Sure.
I don't know if you still are.
I mean,
deep in that little cavernous heart there.
I want the Red Sox to be good. It's good for all of us if they're
my
good.
My God, it would be awesome. But people that would tune in nightly on this radio station.
But they...
For every Soto at bat.
At a certain point, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me every offseason, shame on me. And that's where we sit today.
I just want you to be ready in case the 9% comes through. Like, people aren't going to be ready for this. Nobody believes it's true. And if it actually is true, it would be shocking beyond belief.
Did you watch the Netflix 2004 docuseries?
I did. Excellent.
So at the beginning of that.
I was credited in the final credits. I'm not sure if you saw
that. I got to tell you, one thing you need,
more
credit.
Contributor.
Get those old discs together.
Cassette tapes, thank you.
I'm just listening to Troop.
Did you ever use cassette tapes?
No, never at radio. I was always CD.
In like your car where you were past the cassette.
Oh, cassette tapes, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. My sister's old, like little Volvo sedan. We used to play those all the time.
Great.
anyway, the safe car, the Swedes. I just totally lost my train of thought. In the beginning of that series, the John Henry is bitching about the Harrington Trust or the Yawkey Trust with John Harrington.
Yep.
And the last time there would be a signing like this, it would be when they, Harrington and Yawkey, signed Manny.
Schilling. Schilling was big. No, that was later.
That was a trade. And they were all out there.
Oh, yeah. They were all out there. But they consummated the deal.
I'm talking about a lot of money out of, like, in a time when they haven't been doing it.
Yeah.
When they gave Manny 10 years, $200 million.
Yep.
With Jeff Morad. I remember listening to this radio station, and it was, the city was ablaze.
I mean, they had some bad signings after that, the big money signings, the Sandovals that didn't work out, etc.
Do you think that, I know that when I talked to Sam last year at JetBlue, Great Park, he was saying it's a break-even business.
Right.
And would you say over the last 20 years, all those big deals made money, lost money, or stayed them at even?
The big money deals in baseball?
For the Red Sox.
Oh,
of this ownership
for the Red
group.
Sox.
Do you think they've been benefited by them overall?
I mean, yes, overall.
Okay,
if you look
so then
at
why do you talk about
portfolio,
them negatively?
Why do they talk
about
them?
You're a liar.
Okay, Sam.
Well, I think he's got you on a technicality. The baseball side of it might be break-even, but the concert side, as you often point out, and the Fenway region side, everything else is very lucrative.
My favorite thing about corporations is, like, there's always little places of money, but we don't know where it is or what they're going to.
Stashed.
It's just, it's an incredibly profitable endeavor, which is why they are in sports, because it's the only live event that people watch anymore.
Soto's question to the Red Sox at the end of this conversation was very noteworthy, I thought. We'll get to that next. And, of course, we got football to talk about today. Your buddy Drake May, your buddy Alex Van Pelt, the Rams in town.
Speaking of
two
talking
of
about
wins?
Stuff, making a fool of yourself, the New England Patriots continue to do that.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Down on the Pats, they're hot.
I'm not the Pats.
Don't tell me.
Not Mayo.
Oh,
the organization.
Oh, okay. We will get to what that is. That's Irking Curtis next after Joe B's trending.
You have one bold prediction for the offseason. What is it, Pedro Martinez?
That the Red Sox go and get Juan Soto.
Oh.
Juan Soto. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the kind of bat and power that we need, New England will go cuckoo bananas.
Oh.
I'll be jumping on top of the dugout. I'll be the first one saying, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cuckoo bananas, Pedro, on the Section 10 podcast with Steve Peralt, Kenneth Curtis here. That's his bold prediction. Maybe more hope than actual head and science, Curtis, but there it is. There's a legend who's maybe paid to say the right thing, but he is saying the right thing.
What did he say about Brian Bale?
Better than him, better stuff than he has.
I would, and,
not wrong.
And you know I feel this way, but it bears repeating. Pedro Martinez is the most talented Boston athlete of my lifetime.
And very invigorating. I mean,
would you say his
killer
peak
on the mound
is almost, it was better than Brady's peak when it comes to just...
I can't believe you say that. I mean,
it's true.
Of course, but...
Late 90s, in the peak of the steroid era,
mm-hmm.
where... Everybody's hitting, you know, Luis Gonzalez is hitting 60 bombs.
Yep.
He was just a magician. Unbelievable.
When do you think Brady peaked?
The Super Bowl 51 comeback. Well, but you know what gets forgotten is the Super Bowl 49 fourth quarter, down 10, Legion of Boom. At that point, the Patriots and Tom Brady executed the biggest fourth quarter comeback in Super Bowl history, which was 10.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, without Gronk, you go down 28-3.
Who was it that just came back from a similar score in a game this regular season? There was like it was a big deficit. Somebody just came back.
Oh, it was. Dan Quinn? No, with the.
I can't remember. But anyway,
was it the Lions last Sunday?
It was the Lions.
23-7.
Yeah. Right. So it happens with more frequency these days. But yes, maybe Brady ushered in the era.
I'm not talking
of the
about career
comeback.
Accomplishments. I'm just saying, like, the specific skill. Like, I think Gronk is better than Kelsey, but Kelsey may end up with more, you know, touchdowns or yards or whatever. Like. I think Gronk is better than Tony Gonzalez in the same way I think that Pedro is just and the whole off the field thing too, like the raw persona. Mm-hmm. He was everything. I mean, he was someone you legitimately would plan your week around when Pedro was pitching.
He sounds better there than Mike Tyson looked last night on Netflix you saw it through the buffering.
If you bought into that, you are a moron. I was arguing with my colleagues yesterday on the Greg Hill show, and Wiggy's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, you rubes.
There was a lot of money on Tyson, right? That was the report. That money was flowing
I'll give it Costos credit. He called and he said, there's no way it's a knockout. It's going to be
a decision.
And for Paul.
And it sounded like, look, I didn't see a lot of the fight. It buffered on me, and then I tapped out.
No,
and he looked bad. But it sounded like Paul, like,
blanket bag.
He pulled up in the last couple rounds and took it easy on Mike to get it to go the distance.
But if you watched that idiotic slap at the weigh-in.
Well, that could be Mike just being out of his mind.
Ken, if somebody comes up and wails on your face and you are a talented, world-class boxer, you don't not flinch and move an arm. Your immediate reaction, especially when the world's watching.
Well, you got separated. You couldn't get at him.
If you watch it, it just, what the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public, and they are dumber than they've ever been.
Well, let's get back to the Red Sox for a second, and then you're, what's bugging you about the Patriots this week. So Soto, according to the reports, Mass Live, I think, had this. Soto's end of the 3 hour, and I don't know if we told you, it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
The chat. That's important. It was not quick, it was 3 hours.
I got it.
Soto's end of the questioning.
Are you sure they weren't talking about the time change?
Soto wanted to know about the Red Sox commitment to winning, player evaluation methods, Fenway Park, and its facilities. Good questions by Soto. If they had any legitimate hopes of signing him, aren't you petrified if you're Juan Soto to sign with this organization who hasn't spent recently?
I guess.
Especially with the Mets
but
making a magical run, and Cohen's got a pocketbook, and he's going to spend.
So here's the way I would just frame this story, because you have to evaluate it in a vacuum. Why? Okay, what is it? Qui bono?
Qui bono?
Qui bono. Who benefits? I think Maya Angelou.
Pro bono?
It's Latin,
pro
you
quo.
Idiot.
Okay.
Spain. Oh, my God.
Maybe it is qui bono. Then.
I don't know. It's
qui bueno?
It's you two. if Juan Soto leaves the meeting and says it sucked, It hurts him. If at the very minimal, it makes it a three-hour waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes.
So leaving that dinner, both parties were clearly served by saying it went well, even if it didn't.
I know, but what about his questions about the Red Sox?
I don't even know if those were asked.
Jeez.
Sitting there like, oh, hey, is that Loco Taqueria good? I used to like Beer Works.
So, but in order for this to have been a work, they would have had to sat down with Cora, Werner, I mean, Kennedy,
you
obviously.
You understand what I'm saying. It's not a work. It helps both parties.
I know, but they would have had to like, hey, we're flying to California. Just bear with us and make it look good.
Did we know about the California trip almost a week in advance?
I don't know. Did we?
Yes.
A couple days?
Yeah. We had that selfie with John Henry with the podcaster somewhere in California.
Yeah.
It was all done to get some feeling back.
I know.
So then,
I'm trying to not get sucked in, but I can't help it.
But
it's
like,
just, it's
with all due
good.
Respect to Sam Kennedy, because I don't know anything about him personally. I really don't. He seems like a nice guy. He likes to have fun at my expense, and I do the same. God bless him. He's not good at this when it comes to this spin job. Like,
well, he got Pedro to buy in. He got Ortiz to buy in.
He bought Pedro.
Okay. Well, that's a good purchase.
But it doesn't matter. It's not going to cushion the fall when Soto signs somewhere else.
Yeah, but hopefully he signs with the Mets and not the Yankees. And they will have driven the price up that it's out of their price range and it's in Steve Cohen's price range. Even worse might be if he goes to Toronto. I think that's actually got a legit chance of happening, because they were miffed by the Shohei stuff last year, and they have money to spend, and they need to convince Canadians that baseball still exists. Couldn't you see that? I mean, they'll definitely offer him $600 million.
I have no idea what he's going to get. All I know is the Red Sox aren't going to have the high bid. Look at last year. Look at what we were saying.
Yeah, full throttle.
There's a great vibe in the front office.
Oh, God.
Maybe he'll come here just because he can be the man. They're going to play that up.
Maybe he likes Sam's fake laugh.
Maybe he does.
But Wiggy did it, a Cal Ripken-esque 200 leads in a row on Shohei Ohtani. When you saw the Shohei deal,
yeah,
it was written for this ownership group.
Right.
No upfront cash, all down the line.
Especially
the fall guy
sell.
Was already there, all good. Bob's your uncle. Let's get it done. And they didn't do that. If you're not invested at $2 million a year, when we all hope John Henry lives to 100, but when that price comes due, it's not going to be on his lap, and they didn't even do it. A guy that fills everything, Did you see the story about the Japanese TV ratings with the World Series?
No, I can't imagine.
They averaged...
In Japan, you mean?
In Japan, 9 a.m., they averaged 12 million viewers, which is a bigger audience than Mavericks Celtics got on ABC in America.
But that doesn't help the Dodgers, does it?
Of course it does.
They get a cut of that?
Think of how much merch and interest you're selling, and just like the same way the Dominican fans supported the Red Sox.
Let's go to John on the Cape about Soto. Good morning, John.
Hi, guys. Let's go back to 2018 when the Red Sox were trying to win. What did the Dodgers do since then, who the Red Sox played in 2018? The Dodgers went out and spent money, and guess what? They have two World Series since then and have been in it. I mean, fully in it every year since then. Why? Because they spent money.
Yeah.
It's just fact, not opinion. And then here's another one. When was the last time a successful surgery didn't happen on an athlete?
Right.
Every surgery is successful. It's the same as a productive meeting or he has interest in the team.
But I will say this, John.
Fact, not opinion.
John, I know.
I want a percent chance before you leave,
John. The last, in all sincerity, I think the last unsuccessful surgery was that Eletrosh guy on Brady's knee. Remember that? He was, like, infected.
Yeah, then he had to go to Guerrero.
There was some type of infection or something, yeah. But, I mean, come on.
Give me a percent,
John.
Give me a percent chance it happens.
1.5%.
I'll take that. Right. That's not nothing. That is not nothing. 617-779-7937. I'm a 9%.
Is that
one of the greatest hitter who ever lived?
The frozen head.
Would he be Ted Williams, too?
What are you talking about?
How about this from Jaron Duran? People are sucked in now that they have to comment on it. He went on MLB Network and was asked about how Soto would fit in.
So his production assistant was asked to find a Red Sox, and he called Jaron Duran.
I feel like he'd abuse that monster in left field like he has against us a couple times. Just the fact that he's got to go on and talk about it.
He said the Red Sox would be a bunch of Sallys if they didn't sign him.
My God. And you're not excited about this.
No.
I do like this text, 781 texter. A three-hour meeting. Was he having dinner with Courtney?
I find people who have long dinner meetings to be about as bad as it gets. Like, it's those people that...
How do you do at long dinner meetings? When's the last one you
had?
Well,
I mean, I used to be great. I just get pie-eyed. but
now you get nowhere to go.
Now it's like, I will never forget...
You go out and make a lot of phone calls. That's your thing.
Yeah, get up, walk around.
Like a call.
I can't sit at the table.
Who are you calling? Calling James?
Yes, he actually does. He's a big listener. Not with me.
Did he watch the Jake Paul Tyson fight last night?
He did, yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of Iron Mike?
He said, I'm out after that weigh-in.
All right, over to the Patriots. Oh, you got some?
No, I was just going to say, when we were in Fort Myers, first trip with Greg, Danielle, Fitzy.
Steak fans.
Fitzy was Florida Fitzy. And we went to Capital Grill, had this dinner. I've lived a pretty good life. I have never seen anybody eat and drink like that. It was unbelievable. And then I put it on the company card.
Fitzy and Shine, by the way, noon to 3.
But the highlight was seeing Fitzy meander his way, amble out of Capital Grill with this huge handprint on his khakis full of steak sauce. But anyway, that's what Juan Soto looked like leaving the other night.
Does it make baseball sense?
Of course. Okay. Why not?
Some people have said that it says it's not even worth it. You'd spend it on pitching or too left-handed or...
You know the worst part of all the winning around here? People got picky when it came to how their teams won. Like,
right.
Who gives a flying F?
Yeah, but I kind of see that as a way to rationalize him not coming, that you'll say, well, he didn't really fit
here. No, but Ken, you used to say it often, which makes this kind of interesting, where you said, what if the Yankees won? They've spent billions of dollars.
Up until this year, it was true.
But you did. I mean, you agree that
course.
Was your talking
yeah.
point. It doesn't matter how you get them. I am not concerned about John Henry's bottom line. Are you?
I'm a little worried about it, yeah.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the guy.
I watch, Post Malone's nephew's going to be selling out Fenway tomorrow night. I think they're doing okay. We haven't even hit bowl season.
But agree with me on this. It's not a problem they didn't offer money, because that always happens.
I don't know that always happens. This is the first three-hour negotiation that I haven't heard a dollar figure in my life.
It's not a problem that John Henry didn't go. He's not good at these things.
But you're stipulating that.
You dreamed of what you dreamed of.
But you stipulated that. Do we know of other three-hour meetings that didn't have dollar figures?
Yeah, Shohei meetings last year.
And what about this? Not too conspiratorial. Let's say they had a conversation and the Red Sox were nowhere near what Soto was asking, so they just acted like it didn't happen.
What do you mean? Like they said, like, entry price is $600 million.
We're both going to be positive about it. We're going to say
that
this went
well. Here's our history with Dominican players in Boston.
No, I'm saying, like, even if they did offer something and Juan Soto laughed at it, it behooves his negotiating and the position he will have if people think the Sox are a potential suitor.
Yeah, but I just don't. If you gave him a dollar figure, there's no money figure you could push across the table that he would say, I sign now, I'm not going to interview with the Yankees, Mets.
But if they said, here's 10 years, $300 million.
Yeah, well, that would take them out.
What was their first offer to Bogarts? Wasn't it like, or what was their first offer to Lester? It was like $70 million.
Might have been Betty and the Petty.
I think it was $375 for Lester, his first offer.
Really?
Yes. So let's say it was that. They're just going to say, we're acting like this didn't happen. Have a safe flight back to Boston. We're going to say this went well.
And you're at 5%.
Yeah.
Despite all that.
Give me 5% odds on anything. Oh, 5% odds that you're going to have hair by 10.
Let's get rich, to use the Costas words. Now, Patriots. Weekend Patriots. You think the big story was, this week, what?
I would say the biggest story of the week was simple, a report from Albert Breer.
Thank you.
And he, I didn't tell, I don't know if we have the sound, but either way.
Joe has it, yeah.
Okay, this is the, I think on NBC Sports Boston, Albert Breer on the Kraft's calling around about their quarterback.
But they have done some research over the last few weeks on how to handle a young quarterback. And, you know, obviously they failed with Mac Jones from 2021 through 2023. So the Krafts have, you know, asked people and done their homework on how the right way to handle a young quarterback is and how they're going to do that going forward.
Okay. Now, how do you think he knows this?
So,
do you think, like, he's got access to their Google searches and they Googled how to handle a young quarterback?
So I don't talk to Bert. We used to work together. He's a good reporter. But I heard him across the street early in the season, and it was made clear that he and Elliot Wolf and Mayo are buds. I don't know how they all got known each other, but they are. When Mayo beat in the Patriots 1 week 1, Mayo called Bert on the team bus. Oh. Like, so
That's amazing, actually. If you've got a connection to the coach and the GM who potentially don't get along, you get both sides of it.
Exactly. That's like when the old DNC show had Larry on one day and Theo on the next.
It's like Wickersham back in the ESPN days.
Right.
Like Gronk on dial one, on line one.
I would argue that Wickersham did the best journalism about the biggest dynasty in the history of sports.
I can't argue that.
So anyway.
Until the Chiefs pass it.
I mean, him and then Borges. and so they're... I believe he's getting it from people inside the building. And
why would they say that? Like, it's just bizarre. Like,
because Robert Kraft is singularly focused on getting into Canton, Ohio and the NFL Hall or the Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. That's what every decision he makes is, does this make me closer? Which is why part of the reason he hired Jerod Mayo.
But he would get credit for this. Like, if this works out and Van Pelt's a success, he'll get credit for hiring Van Pelt and drafting Drake May and bringing on the
right,
new...
Right, but he can't wait. He wants the credit now. That's what this is all for, which is why, for no reason, he tells the national audience, the only national audience he'll have all year, that we didn't just find out about Mayo. 5 years ago, when we were winning Super Bowls with Bill Belichick, I knew he was a coach to replace Bill Belichick, which is why, at the end of the season, he thinks it'll be beneficial to his legacy to act like him and Bill were friends. So they did some awful press conference. Then 2 hours later, he shivved him. And then this year, he went on with Charlemagne the God to try and distance himself from Trump. And he talks about how he fired Bill. It's the doublespeak. It's all about everything except the one thing that will make people happy with him.
But what a weird week to do it. I mean, you won 2 of 3. Well, everybody's happy. I mean, they definitely have their problems. The offense wasn't stellar last week, but everything's going well. Van Pelt's stock is as high as it's been, and now you have some kind of nebulous quote that Breer puts out, a report that makes Van Pelt look like he's a lame duck.
Or maybe Van Pelt has known about this, and he's feeling good about himself, and so they leak now after a couple good performances to make Kraft look bad for doing it.
Interesting. Well, that's deep. Now, Van Pelt responded on Jones and Keefe yesterday to this. I thought it was an interesting response. I thought he sounded pretty good. We'll talk about that. Hear that? Put that sound for you next on Ken and Curtis. It's your Ken and Curtis show on a Saturday morning with you until noon. Fitzy and Hart to follow. BC football in Texas today. Who did I say? Fitzy and Shine. Sorry, Shine. No Hart today. Hart's off.
Fine.
On tomorrow. What do you think of Shine getting all this airtime Thursday night?
I love it.
His new show, his new spot with Fitzy, 6 to 7.30. And Shime's on today. BC football, though, today at 3.30, 3 o'clock pregame.
I don't think I've ever seen Shime actually mad. Like perturbed.
No, he gets his feathers ruffled.
Right.
But more so than gets mad.
Yeah, I've never seen him. He's got a very nice disposition to him.
Especially working with you and Greg. Like, you guys have a way of getting under skin.
Really?
Like, really working it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't argue with Shime too much.
I know. And why is that?
I like him.
Just too pleasant of a chap.
I mean,
what a change. What a breath of fresh air for you.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I spent 5 years, like, having to look, getting shivved.
Shime, shut your mouth.
Oh, plus Shime and Courtney have a nice rivalry.
Yeah, they do. Pleasant. Does BC win today? And I know you get your lock of the day later.
Yeah, I don't. So
they cover
Vegas
today.
Must know something because do we still call it Vegas?
Yeah.
I feel like, okay.
I think that's
it's like across the timeless. Street, even though they're not across the street anymore.
Right. We're going to call Brady that soon when he's out of the booth.
Oh, God. Yes, one and done. I've never been more right, although I did say never. But either way, there's something about Castellanos because earlier this week, it was a 13.5, 14, 14.5 line with Southern Methodist favorite over BC.
Yep.
And then the fiasco happened, and the Castellanos left, and Grayson James comes in. And now it's almost 18-point line. I also just thought this was a bad spot. BC beat them in the bowl last year. They're a better, more talented team than BC.
I think they'll win for sure. But it was interesting. I have a lot of BC sources. One of them told me this was the removal of Castellanos was that's a popular move with the players. They were upset at the way he was either preparing or behaving or something.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult when you're the quarterback and there's a new coach.
Yeah.
And especially a guy who has maybe as much or more credibility than any other coach in football, in college football, at the quarterback position. If you've coached Brady, you can't really tell that guy that he doesn't know what he's talking about. So, and I mean, he got Deshaun Watson to look like an actual good quarterback, which today looks like an unbelievable accomplishment.
But Van Pelt is running circles around him compared to his performance last year.
Sure. Either way, it was bizarre because you go back to that win over Florida State. And obviously, Florida State's like 1-7. The win looks much different in hindsight. However, I think Tony Castellanos was asked...
Tommy,
after the game, was asked about did you party? Oh, that's right. Their charter was stuck. They had to spend the day in Tallahassee and then come back. And he's like, no, we go to Boston College. We had class. And it just sounded like a guy that kind of like got it, and then the second adversity hit, he was
now he might transfer there, right? Isn't that the thought? He might go to Florida State.
Yeah. So hey, I also don't get all worked up about NIL and money. Like, they're all getting paid. Why shouldn't the people actually playing be the ones paid as well?
Yeah. Like, I am shocked at the money they're getting. Some of them, I don't know how the average player does, but some of these like $10 million deals and things like that for people coming out of high school, unbelievable.
But look out for the NFL to try and do something about this, because you're going to see a lot of guys,
some union busters from the NFL come in.
Well, you're going to see guys that only want to play 4 or 5 years in the NFL.
Yeah, true, because they don't. And the motivation is not there.
Right.
All right. Now over to Van Pelt and that comment from Breer. Sort of a report that Kraft is going out calling people for advice on how to handle young quarterbacks. So I thought Jones and Keith did a good job asking Van Pelt on the Friday show on Patriots Friday yesterday about this. Here was that exchange.
Alex, Albert Breer reported this week the Patriots ownership has called around the NFL on advice about how to handle a young quarterback. I'm curious if you've heard that report and what your reaction to it is.
Yeah, once again, I don't read anything or see anything that's out there in the press. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they got a lot invested in the guy, and I think they get. I think I have a good feel of how to get him ready, and I think it's showing so far. So, yeah, not worried about that at all. I'm here to develop Drake May, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, and Gerard Mayo, as we said, was very complimentary this week. Drake May, from my estimation, has developed pretty nicely. So, do you think the current coaching staff needs any help handling a young quarterback?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, so strong, definitive. I don't need any help. Good job by Van Pelt. He's done a pretty good job turning chicken whatever into something. I don't know what it is. It's not really chicken soup or what
is it? Do you like chicken salad?
No, I don't like chicken salad.
Gross.
Yeah, that's a bad pun, analogy, whatever. But anyway, they have four receivers now that have become somewhat serviceable. Like, they've got Booty, they've got Pop, they've got Henry, they've got Hooper.
No. What's happened is that...
Two of those are tight ends, but still.
Let's just stick on the Kraft comments, the Breer report, and Van Pelt's reaction on Jones and Keefe yesterday.
Thank you.
This I didn't hear that yet. This absolutely makes me feel like it was a Mayo AVP Elliott Wolf firing back at the fact that the ownership had been meddling or trying to tell them what to do. Would it shock you?
You think they leaked the report?
Yeah. They told Breer
they're pissed
that they've been calling around.
Kind of like Bill was pissed that Mac was calling around.
Right.
So weird.
Because...
what a soap opera. Every year...
No matter who, I mean, the draft looks awful after Drake, right? We can all agree. I mean, absolute poop. But would you
What do you mean, last year's draft or this year's upcoming quarterback?
The Elliott Wolf first draft as
his
in
draft,
charge.
The Patriots draft.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
I like Polk.
If you get Drake May, would you trade all those picks hitting and not have the quarterback? No.
Right.
So they did a good job with it. Whatever their plan was, I don't think they had one, but my belief is that Kraft was saying, what the hell are we doing? Let's get the kid in there.
Kraft, not Mayo.
Right. Or Mayo, or both. But there's no doubt in my mind that they've been meddling. Whatever degree that is, and I don't want to get a phone call about this. I'm not reporting it. It is my belief, my perspective, that this may have been, you were asking if they found this note about the Patriots calling around from other teams, from Kraft. It definitely wasn't Kraft, I don't think. But it was... my guess, them, because that answer was, I don't listen to stuff. Dude, you used to host sports radio in Buffalo. You absolutely
Van Pelt hosted sports radio?
Yeah, he was on there. He did the play-by-play. He was a color guy.
Oh, he was?
On WGR.
Wow, I didn't know that. Right after he got out of the league?
Why don't you read a freaking media guide, for Christ's sake?
That's all I do is read media guides.
Yeah, he was, isn't he from your neck of the woods?
He's a Pittsburgh guy, yeah. I know, went to Buffalo.
That's why it sounds a little slow.
He was Bledsoe's backup, right?
Speaking of receivers, can I give you some moderate breaking news that just broke a couple minutes ago? According to Adam Schefter, the Patriots are officially waiving Tyquan Thornton.
What a disaster.
Okay, wow.
What a pathetic draft pick that was. Unbelievable.
You think they're doing this to embarrass Bill? Try to do it in a prominent spot.
I mean, if you have a brain in your head, you don't need to do this to embarrass Bill. The thing that's so amazing,
they had seven receivers. Somebody had to go.
But that it's not that these guys all stunk. The combination of drafting receivers that don't perform with the best quarterback to ever play the game is a unique. It's actually much more difficult than drafting guys.
He was drafted after Brady left, though, right?
No, I'm talking about the history of Bill Belichick and players that he drafted, whether it's N'Keal Harry or who was the fast guy from Florida. Keefe loved him at the time.
Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson. I mean, up and down the list. Bum after bum after bum after bum. The only guy that was good was a seventh-round quarterback from Kent State.
Well, think about this, too. The Rams come in tomorrow with Puka Nacua, right, who was a fifth-round pick, right?
Yes.
And Cooper Kupp was a third-round pick. And here you go, the day before, you're cutting the 50th overall pick in the 2022 draft in Tyquan Thornton. It is shocking how bad the receiving drafts have been. And I guess Polk did score a touchdown last week. So who knows? You would agree it's too early to say he and Baker are busts. Year one for receivers, you never know what you're going to get. But.
Tyquan Thornton, and all that, and I mean, no disrespect to the beat guys, but go back and Google the training camp stuff on Tyquan Thornton.
Who was the hypiest?
He just got a job at Sports Illustrated. Cadillac. I remember arguing with Cadillac. My God, he's popping.
They were trying him this year. I mean, to their credit, give him one less shot, but it's just nothing.
But
zero.
Literally, everybody lands, it's much more difficult to be this bad than it is to be like the Rams or the Steelers or those organizations.
End of an era. If you miss any part of the program, you can jump back and listen anytime on the app or EEI.com. Click on that orange listen button and rewind to moments you cared about the most. It is the Ken and Curtis Show.
And I have a question about you, about Bill Belichick and his future. If you're Jerry
Jones.
Another
good Bill week. Another good little dig at the Patriots this week.
Yeah, also, I love the people I work with who are like, well, he's just so deferential to the players. He didn't want to talk about it. Oh, yeah, he's really giving them a ton of credit.
Okay, so you have a question about Bill's future.
Yeah.
We'll do that next.